So, good morning. I got to read something from Luke, Luke 15. It says, the parable. This is the parable of the lost coin, so I think you probably know this. Suppose a woman has 10 coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So finding something that's lost, it's wonderful when you find something unexpected. You might have lost it or forgotten all about it. But then you have that joy of finding it all over again. And today's sermon, we're going to look at this story of King Josiah as part of the church's series on his life. Now, King Josiah, it's from his Facebook page, King Josiah definitely had a funny or a poor start in life. His mum and dad weren't nice people. I think it's the only thing you can say. His dad, King Amnon, was a pretty awful bloke. Like his father before him, King Manasseh, they were pretty horrible, and they introduced all kinds of idolatrous practices throughout the nation, and they even went as far as to defile the temple and introduce stuff into the temple to make it even worse. It was so bad that in the end the people led a revolt and killed his father, King Amnon, by assassination. Not a great start for an 8-year-old who suddenly becomes king. How old's Ollie? 11. So 3 years before, you just make Ollie king. The world would be full of dinosaur models at that time. And now something else. Yeah. So not a great start for an 8-year-old to become king, and who had pretty awful parents for his role model. But before, you know, someone somewhere, though, must have influenced Josiah. Because later we hear those words, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, who he was a descendant of. And you have to go quite a long way back to Hezekiah to find somebody nice in his lineage, and before that, David. So he learned it from somewhere, from someone. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it." And in baptism or dedication services, the pastor often says to the congregation something along the lines of, "We thank God that so-and-so's come to be baptized today. Christ loves them, welcomes them into his church. Would you support them on the journey of faith?" And then normally the congregation says yes, because it's embarrassing not to, you know. But it's not just baptisms and dedications. This is something we can all do. We can pray for our children and the children that we know, and as they grow up too. Because as we've heard this morning, actually, being a child's not easy. And, you know, you think, oh, great, they're grown up, they've gone to university. Well, that's not easy there either. And we know that's true, because when you get to work, it's not easy either. You know, so we can pray that for our children, those who come to church, those who go out the back each week, and those who are our neighbours, we can pray that they start off well, and they start off on the way they should go. So I want you to do something right now. Turn to your neighbour. Discuss very, very briefly, what can you do to encourage young ones who are either family, neighbours or friends? I won't keep you doing this for very long. Okay? Very briefly.
Thank you.
Got about 20 seconds. You are very obedient. Well done. Does anybody want to say anything that came up while they said, I don't want you to not have the chance to say? Otherwise, I'm going to pile on. Okay. Those of you who have got children may recognise the issue here. That there's a dilemma. When our children are young, or when you're involved in children who are quite young, you can quite often influence them, but then they grow into adulthood. And as Claire and I have found, you know, all you can do is pray. And that's what we're doing. But there's this real impetus when people are young, and they can put in, you can get in into people the habits and the understanding that will carry through with them for the rest of their life. So don't give up on people. Someone, I think, must have been praying or influencing Josiah, but we never find out who. There's no guarantee that if you influence some youngster or some young person and help them along their path, that you'll become a famous person or anything. We don't know anything about it, whoever it was. And around this time, there's a guy called Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. He starts his ministry in the 13th year of Josiah's reign. So when Josiah was 21 years old, Jeremiah says, during the reign of King Josiah, the Lord said to me, "Have you seen what faithless Israel has done? She's gone up on every high hill and every spreading tree and has committed adultery there. I thought that after she'd done this, she would return to me, but she didn't. And her unfaithful sister Judah saw it. I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of her adulteries. Yet I saw that her unfaithful sister Judah had no fear. She also went out and committed adultery, because Israel's immorality mattered so little to her. She defiled the land and committed adultery with stone and wood. In spite of all this, her unfaithful sister Judah did not return to me with all her heart, but only in pretense, declares the Lord." Here's a passage where, through Jeremiah, God describes himself as a divorcee. And now, Judah is behaving the same way. Judah has not returned to God in their heart, but only in pretense. So a lot of the story that you heard, read by Sarah earlier, was Judah going through the motions. Going through the motions. Because the minute Josiah goes, they stop. And actually, there's a phrase, you know, basically, they only did it when he stood there. But Judah's behaving the same way. And that's the background to Judah when Josiah's king. He may be a godly man, and we're not quite sure why, given his background. He may be a godly man and a godly king, but the nation is completely off the rails. In his 8th year as king, so he's now 16 years old, it says he began to seek the God of his father David. So something happened during the first 8 years as king. He got some influence, somebody influenced him, and we never find out what it is. When he was 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of evil practices and idolatry. And while the temple is being repaired, they find this book of the law, probably Deuteronomy. Josiah's moved by what he hears and wants to know what to do. So he consults a prophet called Huldah, who confirms that the nation has gone against God. Doesn't even get as far as Jeremiah. Not only confirms that the nation's gone against God, but actually that the nation will be punished. But because Josiah's a good bloke and has turned to God, Josiah will die before he sees it happen. And we've heard that elsewhere, where God delays but doesn't change his mind. So he got the people to pledge, this is King Josiah, he got the people to pledge themselves to follow God and keep his commandments. But the Bible suggests this was only skin deep, as a pretense, as Jeremiah calls it. Skin deep. While Josiah was alive and present, they follow God. But once he's gone, they revert to their old ways. So how much of our life is skin deep? Do we only do the right things when people are watching? Do we follow God wholeheartedly, even in private? Do we commit ourselves to follow God and his commandments? Now this time, I don't want you to turn to your neighbour. Just for a moment, I'd like you to close your eyes. And I can see whether you do this. Close your eyes and think about how wholehearted are you. Is your faith a sort of thin veneer? Or does it go deep? And are there things that you need to pray through with God? I'll give you just a few moments. Close your eyes and think about how wholehearted are we? Thin veneer or deep? You. Sometimes it's good to remember these sorts of things. I don't know if you know the story of Samson. Samson had the habit of doing whatever he wants to do. He was a terrible, he was an appalling teenager, rampant through places. Setting light to foxes is a good idea, or setting light to stuff and tapping into boxes is ever a good idea, I don't know. But generally, he was a wayward bloke. But he always relied on the fact that he kind of could shake himself up. In the description is he could shake himself up and the Lord would come back. There's a terrifying phrase in the Bible where one day he's in some trouble and he shakes himself and he says, I wished that the Lord had not departed from me. And it's a horrible phrase, because basically he relied on God always being there. He relied on it, and he was relying on the past, really. And so sometimes it's a good idea to reflect back. Where are we? Are we relying on the past too much? Or are we actively following God now? In chapter 35, Josiah, who's now 26, plans to celebrate the recently discovered Passover. And it says, not since Samuel had it been carried out in such a way. The nation had forgotten it for 400 years. Samuel to Josiah's 400 years. Verse 18 says, "The Passover had not been observed like this in Israel since the days of the prophet Samuel." So they might have been doing it, but it's not as big a scale as this. None of the kings of Israel ever celebrated such a Passover as did Josiah with the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel who were there in the with the people of Jerusalem. So Josiah celebrates it in a very serious way. And throughout all of that passage, as you were hearing Sarah read it, you see different people doing different roles so that others could do their job. Some cooked, others prepared, did all the practical things, so that those with official duties could stay at their posts and keep going. The musicians could keep playing and the priests could keep going with the sacrifices and the prayers. Everyone involved did their part. And we can do the same. We can play our part using the gifts that God has given us. Just like we're called to do in Ephesians 4, using the talents we have to serve God. So the next thing I want you to do is I would like you to take a deep breath. Not right now, but I'll tell you when. Take a breath and think of one gift that God has given you. And then consider, are you using it? And can you use it or other gifts more? So take a breath, think, and then as you breathe out, consider, are you using the gift that God has given you? And then perhaps when you're biting into your Sunday lunch later on, as we're all hoping to do, that you can actually just consider, what gift was that? Am I using it? Am I serving God? So up to you whether you close your eyes or whatever, but take a deep breath. And as you breathe out, think, what is the gift that God's given me and am I using it? In again. So King Josiah wanted to make some reforms, some changes to bring people back to God. But the people clearly were not keen. The prophet Jeremiah, as I've said, has had very low or virtually no expectations. He doesn't even get involved. Not because the king was bad, because the people's hearts weren't turning towards God. The people had forgotten God and they were going to be punished. And we know that just as the Assyrians invaded Israel in the north and took them off into captivity, Babylon was coming through to invade Judah and they would go into captivity too. And during that captivity you get the whole Daniel story and all that kind of stuff. And because of the Babylonian invasion and exile, we know something very specific about King Josiah. We know nothing about him apart from what's in the Bible. Every trace of records, writings, tablets of King Josiah are gone. Not surprising, because immediately following him, there's the Babylonians come in and they trash everything and they take the people off into exile. But the very fact that it's all gone, despite being a righteous king, nothing survives except he's in the genealogy of Jesus. In Matthew 1:1-17. So he's not forgotten. But just following God, just being, you know, doing your own thing, doesn't mean that you're going to become famous, doesn't mean that you're remembered outside of God's kingdom. Josiah did his part. He followed God wholeheartedly. But his children didn't follow in his footsteps. King Josiah did the right thing, even when those around him didn't respond or follow God. Ooh, 2 Kings 23:25 says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to God, to the Lord, as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses. That's something we can do. We can live in we live in an increasingly secular age where belief in God is not the norm, where following Jesus is seen as rather odd. But we can follow God with all our hearts. God just doesn't feature in lots of people's lives anymore. They've lost him, like the coin. Our role is to be faithful and to point out where God is. We need to be faithful in what God's calling us to do, the people that God wants us to be, and the things that God wants us to do with the gifts that he's given us. God's not asking us to do anything else. He's not asking us to do anything with the, you know, that he hasn't already equipped us to do. Sometimes we can speak out, but all of us can live, we can love, and we can share our lives with other people. We can make a difference because that speaks volumes. That helps people find God, to find the God that they've lost. So in summary, Josiah is remembered as a king who turned to the Lord with all his heart, his soul and his strength. And we can do that. And we can help others find God as well.